55, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah is a phenomenal book. It's 66 chapters long. Isaiah is in the Old Testament portion of your scripture. I encourage you that you may not necessarily be thinking about him this morning, so go to the table of contents. Isaiah is spelled I-S-A-I-A-H, Isaiah, and follow along with me in chapter 55 of this particular great book, years and years and years and years before the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah would prophesy, and in his prophecy, everything came to true, just absolutely amazing. And we're going to be looking at these words here this morning, Isaiah chapter 55. Reading from the NIV version, which stands for the New International Version, 84 edition. Beginning in verse 6, the word that we sang a few moments ago, the word seek. Seek the Lord in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Interesting here. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Father, I would pray in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ that your words, your written word, will do exactly what needs to be done here this morning, in this place, in this sanctuary, where we come to meet corporately as the body of Christ. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that is ours to relate with each other, to shake hands, to hug on, to listen, to be encouraged in each other's lives, to hear songs that bring us back in years, or songs that just bring about a great sense of anticipation. May your word this morning speak. May your Holy Spirit here this morning have the freedom to communicate truth. Lord, this past week, perhaps we have heard a lot of different things. Maybe some are true and some are not. Would you reveal truth for us today? Would you take this passage of Scripture and break it down in such a way that it becomes personally meaningful to us here today? May your Holy Spirit teach. May your Holy Spirit lead. May your Holy Spirit comfort. May your Holy Spirit convict. May your Holy Spirit direct us in the necessary way or ways that we need to go with you. Help us, O Lord. And may the name of Jesus be lifted up and exalted. And it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. I was blessed many, many years ago to be under a tremendous mentor. who at the time when I started serving under him was already the pastor of a church for 25 plus years. His name was Dr. James Storm. I came under him back in the 80s, and it was a sheer, at that time, I did not realize how much I was going to learn and how much I would apply in my life. It was by his actions why I am still the pastor here at Westside Baptist Church. Somehow he ingrained in me the strength and the fortitude to stay one place once the Lord has put you there, and do not leave until the Lord gives you marching orders. I would have the privilege to go into his office and talk with him. I was initially director of activities. I was overseer of this huge building, new ministry. At that particular time, we were having about 800 in Sunday school, about 1,200 in worship. I remember that I would go in and talk and about situations I would put myself into as a staff member and then had to somehow try to get out of. And he would give me little bits of wisdom. And I remember one such occasion, just up out of the blue, he looked at me and he said, "Ben, you can't stop the birds from flying around in the sky, but you can stop the birds from building a nest in your hair." And he just kind of said that off the cuff, and we went back on the subject. I remember another occasion where he said, sin will take you further away than you want to be and keep you there longer than you want to stay. That is where I want to jump off this morning. Sin will keep you and I further away than we want to be and keep us there longer than we want to stay. Discovering forgiveness. Perhaps the single largest topic in humanity, truth be told, is discovering forgiveness. Can God really and truly forgive me? Can he not only forgive me and continue to forgive me, but in my sinful nature, does he even care to use me? Because he knows that I'm a sinner. He knows that I do wrong. Why wouldn't he just leave and go to another? That is a real reality in our congregation today. For if we could, and we won't, if we could look down in all of our hearts, we'd all have similar experiences of failing him and the struggle of getting back to maybe where we once were or getting back in a semblance to where we should be. And I think when we are like that, we forget and understand the purpose of the adversary is to really kill anything spiritually in your life. The purpose of the adversary is to keep you down, to keep you depressed, to keep you to the point where you really do not become all that God wants you to become. Although he's lost the major battle, he's lost the battle of your soul. You are in his hands, and no one and nobody can take you out. But he wants you to live a full and meaningful life right now. And Satan keeps you from that. And so you wonder why you're there. Can the Lord really, really use me because of my past? Well, Abraham, the founder of Israel, and he was also tagged as the friend of God, was once a worshiper of idols, and God used him. Joseph, Before God used Joseph, Joseph was and had a prison record, and later became known as the prime minister of Egypt, and God would use him in an extraordinary way. Moses, come on, we could be here all day with Moses. Moses was a murderer. He took someone else's life. Now, I don't know. I think, let me look here. I don't really know about you. Really don't know about you. But for the most part, I'm not sure about you. I don't think there's any murderers here today. Not that I'm saying a murderer is more of a sinner than you and I, because in the reality, God sees sin all equally. It's kind of a crazy thing. That's where he says in the scriptures, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But Moses was a murderer and later became the one who would deliver God's nation from the slavery of Pharaoh. Do you remember Rahab? Yeah, she was a lady of the street. She was a harlot in the streets of Jericho. But years later, God would use that lady in such a mighty way that God would consider her. God would write about her through the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit and put her in the Hall of Fame book, in the book of Hebrews. Not only mention her, but talk about her. Are you still unconvinced that God would want to use you? How about Eli and Samuel? Two individuals that we forget about, but these two individuals were poor, inconsistent fathers, but proved to be mighty men of God. Inconsistent fatherhoods, mighty men of God. How about that? Jonah and John Mark. John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, had something in common. Did you know that they were both missionaries who, in essence, ran away from God's plan? That's right. Jonah and John Mark both ran away from God's plan, and they were like cowards. And yet, they would become very, very useful in the Master's hands later on in life. How about Peter? You know, Peter. The one who denied him and cursed him three times, only to return to be the spokesman of God's people among the earlier years of the infant church. And of course, we got the crazy one. We got the writer of the 13 books of the Bible, that most of us can identify with, for most of us in this sanctuary are of Gentile descent. We have Paul. We have Paul, who was so hard and vicious in his early years that the disciples, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, wanted nothing at all to do with him until he proved himself over and over and over again. And wow, did God not use him in an extraordinary way? And we could take the rest of this morning listing different individuals in the Old Testament. Different individuals, Philemon, who became useful. He was useless, but became useful. Onesimus, rather. Onesimus was useless, became useful in the master's hands. We have this history, but the history gets lost in the experience of our walk in faith, in our journey of faith. It gets lost. And the history becomes very narrow, and the history becomes very personal. He can no longer use me. And in some cases, individuals are thrown off the path, never to get back on again. and years go by. Because they thought, listen to what I'm about to say, because they thought they could get back on the path anytime that they wanted to. You got to pay attention. Because the Holy Spirit wants to say some things that are very direct this morning that you don't normally hear in a Christian church. You got to listen. Number one, Isaiah is saying to us in verse 6, seek the Lord with an intense priority. Seek the Lord with an intense priority. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. The word seek in Hebrew points to a deliberate treading towards, a stepping towards, a deliberate stance going towards the Lord God. Seek the Lord. And there's two words here go along with this. Seek the Lord while he may be found and call on him while he is near. These two words are actively and urgently. Actively and urgently. It is implied in this verse by the prophet Isaiah that you better find him while he can be found. See, in contemporary Christianity, we think we can find him at any time of our choosing. Now be careful. Be careful now. Out of that mindset becomes what is prevalent in Christianity today, is that God is no longer God, but God is an errand boy at the very whims of humanity. And when humanity says jump, we expect God to jump. It is ever so present in contemporary Christianity, this idea. I can call on him. I can call on him anytime I want. I can come back anytime I want. No, you cannot. When he calls, you better come. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not God. And we have take liberty and license with grace and mercy to the point where we tell God what to do, and we tell God when to act. And God has long left the building. He has long left the building. He has so long left the building that the people in the building do not even know it. Turn, if you will, keep your finger there in Isaiah, and turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. Or write it down and then later look at it at your pleasure. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, for God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. Think about it this way. Here's the thought. If you and I do not take God seriously, will we take anything seriously? Turn back, if you will, to the left, to the Gospel of John and the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter, John chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus says, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." Ladies and gentlemen, let me put it in this way. Life is full of so many different experiences. Some of those experiences are absolutely awesome. Some of them are not. And it is the time when we sense the power of God, is when we take advantage of His power and harness that power and do what He wants us to do, so that when the days of darkness come, and they will come in your life, you can have something to go back and hold on to. For if you don't take part of His favor while you can, when the darkness seeks in, you don't have anything to hold on you, and it takes you, watch this, it takes you further and further and further away, and you don't realize it. You never come back. Seek the Lord with an intense priority. These two words, actively and urgently. Could you imagine, audience, today? Take whatever it is that you thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy. Whatever it is. Do you have it? Whatever it is you thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy. Whatever it is. Do you have it in your mind? Do you have it? Okay. Now, do you and I have that same energy, that same tenacious spirit when it comes to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to God Almighty? Is it actively, is it urgently, if you will? Seek the Lord with an intense priority. Number two, seek the Lord with a positive expectancy. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have, hallelujah, mercy. Mercy. For those of you that remember Braveheart, for those of you that have the pictures of that show, and perhaps many of you saw Braveheart, and at the very end, as they were doing despicable things to the main leader, he said, "Oh, just cry mercy. Just cry mercy to the king." He said, "I'm not going to." You could see he wasn't Mel Gibson, right? He wasn't going to cry anything. Freedom! Oh, you know, and what? How many remember that? All right, quit chasing that rabbit. Let's go on. God will give mercy. Mercy is God withholding. God withholding. God withholding what you and I deserve. Come on, believer. Come on now. How you been with Jesus, lady, lately? How you been? Has it been a while? Your quiet time? Oh, man, you don't have time for that. You're by
Bible reading? It's just been, well, no. I know it all. I don't need it. I don't need to know anymore.
Okay.
Well, I already read it. I've already read it, so I know what it says. You self-pompous person? You egotistical believer? You disciples think you know it all? You have grown beyond that?
That's what's come, though. As our Sunday school ranks in our church and the churches across America, nobody's interested in Bible study anymore. Oh, I can find it online. I can get it on my cell phone. I can do this, I can do that. And what happens? You become an architect of your own truth. Hello? You become the architect of your truth, and thus you are not faced with God's truth in God's way. So you think you're okay. Mercy is that He will forgive, He will pardon. His nature of love is a willingness to forgive. He wants a relationship that goes forward and not backwards. So you can seek Him while He can be found now. The missing word in Christianity today. In contemporary Christianity today, the missing word is this. Repentance. Nobody wants to repent, and certainly nobody's doing any repentance. Nobody's repenting. The seeker must outwardly lay aside an habitual course of a sinful living. He or she must forsake sinful ways and come back to the Lord God. When we do, He will give you mercy. You cannot go to a holy God with sin in your life. You cannot. I am talking about repentance. I'm talking about a genuine heart that is willing to say, God, you are right and I am wrong. Will you please forgive me for this, whatever this is in your life? And the scripture says that He will forgive you and throw it behind His very back. And there is no back of God. He is ready to forgive. But you don't go to Him on your terms. When the Holy Spirit, and you're sensing that, you better go then and there. Because He may not move again in a while. And that is what's happening. That's why there's an absence of the turning back to the church. There's an absence of the believers returning to the church. They're making up their own concept of a church. They're making their own concept of what this is. Worship now, unfortunately now, has been regulated to a worship that makes me feel good. And worship is never about you. It's never about me. Well, I can't go to West Side. That choir sounds really bad. You pompous, selfish, egotistical church member. That's what you're saying when you say that. They are singing not for you. They are singing for the audience of one. And what have you done lately, Jack? That's what Tim says. What you done lately, Jack? What you done lately, Terry? We don't even have a Jack in the audience today, do we? So seek the Lord with, yes, He will forgive, but you got to come before Him. There's at times when the Lord will wake me up. And I always say, well, maybe it's indigestion. It has nothing to do with indigestion. It has to do with sin in my life. And I have to right there deal with it and acknowledge it so that I can go forward with Him. I don't know why. Most of the conviction in my life is when I'm sleeping. I had two awful dreams last night. Just absolutely awful. Don't worry, none of you were involved in it. They were just awful. Absolutely awful. And I have to figure out, because they're still so right there, I have to figure out what the Lord is trying to say to me. Because He's speaking. See, He's speaking. And sometimes you think, it's always about you. And it's not about you. It's about the Lord trying to get your attention because He has something for you. He has something for you. I don't know what it is. Thirdly, seek the Lord with a positive expectancy. Seek the Lord with intense priority. And very quickly, seek the Lord with an assured, A-S-S-U-R-E-D, assured certainty. That's right. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I can't even get my foot in Bobby's hand. I can't figure that out, let alone to figure out how God's going to put me in His hand and all of you in His hand too. I'm just going to believe it by faith. You mean to tell me you believe what Jesus said? Yes. Christians. Jesus went to the Sabbath every week, every Sabbath. Where are you? And just your attendance. Where are you? With those of you that can, and those of you that possibly can, possibly cannot understand that. Where are you? The Lord God assures, here's the fill in the blank. The Lord God assures us that He is indeed better than we can imagine. Hallelujah. Just like that great song, Only Can Imagine. The Lord God assures us that He is indeed better than we can imagine. Tucked away in 1 Samuel 15:29, it says that God cannot lie or change His mind. In the days of broken commitments, in the days of broken relationships, in the days of broken truth and broken promises, there is one who will never break His word. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is faithful. He stands true to His promises. Now, here's something for you to think about. God loves you. God bless you. God this, God that. You ever think about why didn't God just call Jesus God? Why did God specifically give the name Jesus? Now we understand the terms, the Greek and Hebrew and all that. But I'm talking about why the name change? Why the name change? Why didn't He just keep with Jehovah? Why didn't He keep with Yahweh? And I know all you scholars are like, well, you know, if you go back in the etymology, of words, you know that each word means something different, trying to describe the different characteristics of God, yada, yada, yada. And that is true. But still get back to the question. Why did God have to give a different name, whatever the name is, it's Jesus, of course, than God? Have you ever pondered that? Well, I've pondered it. And this is what the Holy Spirit has given me. The reason why that God gave the name that is above all other names, now the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, is that God needed humanity
to have a serious change in theology. Because humanity thought they understood it. Humanity thought that they understood that if you just said the word God, oh, well, he's a believer. God loves me. Right on, I heard that so-and-so is a believer because he says God. And then you come talk to me, and I just rain on your parade. I said, great. Did he or she ever mention the name of Jesus Christ? Well, no, but that, okay. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Look what Jesus said. I never, what? Knew. And that word in Greek, in new, means a relationship. A relationship. With whom? Don't you dare say God in this sanctuary. Escort that man out of church right now. And we won't disagree with what he just said, right? I cannot disagree with that. That's why I want him out of here. He's just messing up my train of thought. God wanted humanity to have a serious change in theology. To say, I want you to have a trust, a personal relationship in the name that I have chosen. The name I have chosen, God's chosen to be above all other names. The name is Jesus Christ. That is why. Now you think about it. You ponder it. As we close, it's your choice, right? I don't know if the Holy Spirit is ministering to you right now, or else you're asleep. Another Sunday morning, you have fallen asleep because you came in here not actively pursuing anything except a time to get away from everything, and I can't use the technology because the pastor won't let me use any technology. So I'll just go to church and have my penance for the week, and you're no more paying attention to anything that I'm saying, and nor to the Spirit of God. You're just wasting your time again because you're not allowing God's Spirit to touch your life again. And you think God's just going to turn it on and turn it off. He does not work like that. He doesn't. Two guys going fishing. Rented the boat. Boat was big. Two life jackets. The guy driving the boat says, Terry, he agreed that I could use his name. Didn't you just hear it? Terry, put your life jacket on. Yeah, I'll get around to it. The guy, the owner of the boat, puts his life jacket on. They hit a rough patch in the ocean, and the boat just goes over. Throws them both out of the water. Both out of the boat, rather, into the water, into the ocean. The person with the life jacket, after a few minutes, just boing, pops on up. And he's looking around for Terry. Terry can't be found. Because simply Terry did not put on the life jacket. That was made available to him by the owner of the boat. Gone. God's made available to you and to me, a life jacket. The life jacket has a specific name. And the specific name is Jesus. Well, I don't like that. Who in the world cares what you like or don't like? When you can build your own heaven and you can speak the world into existence, then your next savior you can call Bob. You can call Bo. You can call Ann or Mary Ann or Tony or whatever. But in the meantime, God says, every knee will bow at the sound of what? Jesus. So will you put the life jacket? That's for those of you outside of Christ. For those of you inside of Christ, you know you're saved. But you are so far away. You are so far away And maybe a few of you. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe the Holy Spirit is using a broken down Yankee to say it's time to come home. Maybe he's not. Will you apply what the Spirit of God wants to apply in your life? Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? I am